Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, October 24th, week 8 coming at us here. And of course, today we're going to break down this waiver wire for you. It's a weird week on waivers. There are a lot of players available, but there is a lot of uncertainty and a buttload, that is a technical term for everybody out there, a buttload of short-term rentals at running backs. We'll do our best here to break it down for you today. Reminder, these percentages when I talk about fab are based on your original budget, not whatever you have left. I don't know how much you have left, so I can't really give you accurate advice if that was the case. At the top this week, no running backs at the top. This is a week for wide receivers at the top of the board, and there's nobody out there who we're spending 25, 30, 50% on. I'm only going to 10 to 15% on the top three. Josh Downs, Joshua Palmer, and Rashee Rice. As far as Downs is concerned, I mean, he's continuing to see the second most targets on that team. He showed major upside on the 59-yard score. Gardner Minshew likes him, so he's in. Joshua Palmer, I don't get why he's still available in over 40% of leagues. I scooped him up a few weeks ago. The picture there is 100% clear. There's no Mike Williams. He's not coming back this season. Palmer's the number two. They're going to keep throwing the ball around the yard, too. And it may not always be perfect, but hey, this past week wasn't a great game for the Chargers, and Palmer put up numbers regardless. And then Rashee Rice has worked his way in to the number two wide receiver job in terms of route participation, but essentially the number two target job in terms of the pecking order. It's only Kelce ahead of him now. And last week, yes, Marquez Valdes-Scantling did run more routes, but it's Rice. And this was an opportunity right for the taking. Somebody had to do it. The rookie stepped up, and he is doing it. Number four on my list, Dalton Kincaid, 8 to 12%. Yes, I am going to spend on him for two reasons. First reason, hey, 8 catches, 75 yards. Finally, we took the darn training wheels off this dude. Second reason, Dawson Knox, unfortunately undergoing wrist surgery, will be out indefinitely. So now opportunity Knox. Dalton Kincaid could be the number two target on this roster. Him and, you know, only Diggs ahead of him. He could be ahead of Gabe Davis because he's more versatile in the short and intermediate than Gabe Davis is. So if I'm sitting here at tight end right now and I have any of the following guys, I'm not picking up Dalton Kincaid: Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, Sam Laporta, Dallas Goedert, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Evan Engram, maybe Kyle Pitts. You have to make that decision. I'm not making it for you. If I personally have him, I'm not making a move. I don't know how you feel about Kyle Pitts. I know a lot of people hate him. I don't get it, but whatever. Anybody else, and I am making a move for Dalton Kincaid. If I have Logan Thomas, if I have Jake Ferguson, if I have David Njoku, if I have Cole Kmet, if I have Tyler Higbee, you know, any of those guys, I'm going to drop them for Dalton Kincaid. Now, this could just be a one-week blip, but it's something I'm willing to take a shot on, because if it isn't, the return on investment is going to be major here. However, if I have those other guys, I don't want them. And I'll be bluntly honest with why. I don't want to have to make a decision every week as to who to start, especially if it's like, we're not talking about Kelce, we're going to start him every week. But if it is Kyle Pitts, or Dalton Kincaid, if you're anything like me, you're going to make the wrong decision every single week. You are. Fewer decisions is better in fantasy football, so therefore I am not picking him up if I have one of those guys. So just a little piece of advice. All right, so we have running backs here. I have a cluster of running backs all in this sort of 8 to 12% range, and it's very complicated with each of them. I have them in this order: Kareem Hunt, Devin Singletary, Deontay Foreman, Daryl Henderson. Why are they in that order? Well, as far as Kareem Hunt is concerned, Jerome Ford may miss this week, may miss up to 2 weeks. We don't know yet. He might not miss any time. That's why I'm not going overboard. Hunt would be expected to be the lead back. You'll probably see, if you go to Roto World, that Pierre Strong led the team in rushing attempts after Jerome Ford left. I'm not overly concerned there because Hunt was also a little dinged up as well. So I would rather have Kareem Hunt than Pierre Strong. I'll get to Pierre Strong in a little bit. But it's only a short-term rental. However, Kareem Hunt will retain value after Jerome Ford comes back. As far as Devin Singletary is concerned, it looked like he was ahead of Damian Pierce before their bye. Of course, they're coming off their bye. But it was 1 week, so we aren't for sure. However, 8 to 12%, and he is the lead back in the Texans' backfield now. Going forward, we're in a very good spot. Deontay Foreman, 8 to 12%. Yes, he was the number one fantasy running back last week, but this week, Roschon Johnson looks like he's going to be back. I think the genie's out of the bottle a little bit with Deontay Foreman, but I don't think this is a very clear backfield. Plus, Khalil Herbert could return after two more games. He has to spend four games on injured reserve. As far as Darrell Henderson is concerned, honestly, he led the backfield, but Royce Freeman looked better. And Miles Gaskin could be involved this week. It's a mess. It's not as clear-cut as the fantasy points make it seem to be. So I'm not going overboard with any of these guys because they're all short-term rental types. Because remember, Kyren Williams, now it's still three more games. It's still a month out because their bye week is 2 weeks away. But he's going to come back, and then, I mean, Darrell Henderson may not even be on the roster after that point. Let's go to Romeo Doubs, 8 to 12%. Christian Watson had the knee issue. We don't exactly know the severity, but the injury pundits out there on social media seem to think it is a knee sprain or possibly a meniscus issue, which is typically like a 2 to 4 weeker. So we saw what Doubs looks like as the number one. He can see some decent targets here. You're investing in Jordan Love. It's not optimal with Doubs, but the target volume could be optimal. Kendrick Bourne, 8 to 12%. Man, he's been really good this season, and especially now that they have a clear slot receiver, because he had to play in the slot at various points during the course of this early part of the season. But DeMario Douglas changes all of that. I'm actually digging Kendrick Bourne, weirdly enough. However, of course, Mac Jones has to continue to play well. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 6 to 10%, took advantage of the opportunity with DK Metcalf sidelined. At the same time, if Metcalf is back, he's the clear number three. However, every year we see these rookies surge down the stretch. Here's one of them. Chuba Hubbard, 6 to 10%. So, we have heard from Frank Reich that the backfield is going to be a committee going forward. So it's not going to be a clear-cut Miles Sanders is the guy. We also know that if Miles Sanders misses any more time, Chuba Hubbard can be pretty effective. It's just I don't think we're going to be able to start him every week. Same thing with Tajay Spears. I love the ceiling on this kid at 6 to 10%. I love the implied value if Derrick Henry goes down. But we aren't going to be able to use him every single week. And, you know, that's a thing we have to take on board with some of our bench spots. You know, make sure you're watching your ratios. Don't have too many running backs, not enough wideouts. We want ammunition at wideout going down the stretch here. I mean, of course, you want ammunition at running back. But running back, you can find these rentals on waivers. You can find them. It's hard to find the rentals at wide receiver. You can't really find those, especially later in the season. All right, first quarterback on the board, 5 to 10%. Yes, 5 to 10% on Kyler Murray. So he probably will not be back this week, but that's fine. Likely return next week. Likely will be right back in the top 15 conversation. And for a lot of people who are hurting a quarterback, this would be an optimal time to add him. Amari DiMercato, 5 to 8%. Remember him? Everybody freaked out 2 weeks ago. Then this past week, he was the lead back, played 49 snaps for the Cardinals, and Keontae Ingram played zero. So DiMercato, another short-term rental. I don't love him, but he was likely dropped in your leagues, and you can use him until James Conner comes back, likely as a flex. Maybe not this week because of how many, you know, there's no teams on bye, but still, he could come in handy here in the next two games. Roschon Johnson, I'm going 5 to 8%. I actually kind of, well, I don't know what this backfield is going to look like, but I kind of dig trying to pick him up more than Deontay Foreman because the long-term here, like Foreman for me would be redundant when Khalil Herbert comes back. So we could very well see Foreman slide back to a healthy scratch role. Roschon Johnson's not redundant. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he should be in practice this week. He should come off concussion protocol and be back in the mix. Royce Freeman, 5 to 8%. I mentioned I actually thought he looked better than Darrell Henderson. I mean, the numbers show it. The play showed it. Just Darrell Henderson knows that offense very well. But, you know, a little scratch-off lottery ticket on Royce Freeman, just in case you're right, you know, or you hit on him, could be a decent play. Remember, they have two games, then bye, then another game, then finally Kyren Williams could come back off IR. Jaden Reed, 3 to 5%. Again, if Watson is banged up, Jaden Reed becomes the number two wide receiver. Luke Musgrave's also banged up, so there's added benefits there. Ezekiel Elliott, 3-5%. It's not sexy, but he's getting these goal line looks. And, you know, Ramondre Stevenson is clearly the lead back. But I'll tell you what, I'm in a 14-teamer. I had to start Zeke this past week, and it really wasn't that bad. I ended up pulling out, you know, eking out a victory, and he was a part of that because he scored a touchdown. It wasn't great, but it was a lot better than taking like a goose egg or getting like 1 point. So if you're in deeper leagues, he could be a help here during the bye weeks. Taysom Hill, 3-5%. So Taysom Hill has been used more in the passing game than maybe ever before. Certainly than he had been earlier in the season. He has 11 catches over the last two. He had 4 over the first 5 games of the season. Now, will he continue to be used this way? Because that is the conundrum with Taysom Hill. Juwan Johnson could be back this week, so that's why I'm not overspending on Taysom. We know the volatility there. However, if they do continue to use him this way, you're talking about a tight end with his ability as a runner who could touch the ball 10 times a week. You know, 8 to 12 touches per game for Taysom Hill. That's silly. Like, yes, the implied value of a carry in terms of fantasy points is nowhere near the implied value of a target. But by the same token, those touches will add up. DeMario Douglas, 3-5%. He returned after the concussion. Season best 38 snaps. Almost exclusively out of the slot. 4 catches for 54 yards. It wasn't massive, but it was decent. And it was encouraging. And he could be the number 2 receiver for this team going forward. So in deeper leagues, I'll scoop him up. Tyler Allgeier, 3-5%. I mean, we don't know the extent of these mystery headaches for Bijan Robinson, but, you know, add Allgeier regardless if he was dropped. He was widely dropped over the last several weeks here. He's got some implied value there too. Gardner Minshew, 3-5%. He's not going to be out there in super flex in most leagues. However, if he is, I mean, we're talking a 25-50% type play. Anthony Richardson's done for the season. Minshew is going to be volatile week over week. It's not going to be stable production, but we saw what the ceiling looked like this past week. And that is appealing there. Odell Beckham Jr., 3-5%. Veteran help here. I would only be looking at him in deeper leagues if he's available and I needed some help at wide receiver. Same thing with Tutu Atwell, 3-5%. I like how he's playing. It's just he is the number 3 target. Like, that's not changing. It's going to be Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua every week, and then Atwell picks up the scraps. But there is a lot of meat on the bone in most games there. You know, if they're not getting... if they're not blowing out a team or getting blown out, which I do expect some close games here for the Rams, then Atwell is going to be involved. I mentioned Pierre Strong. I'm only going 1-3%. Somebody's probably going to read the Roto World blurb and go like 10-15% on him in your league. Let him. I mean, it's a short term here with Jerome Ford. And the challenge, unlike Kareem Hunt, is after Ford comes back, then Pierre Strong is the number 3. Like, if Pierre Strong leapfrogs Kareem Hunt in the short term, it's not going to stick because Kareem Hunt's role, therefore, would be solidified. And I don't even buy this. You know, I don't want to go too heavy here. Marvin Mims, 1-3%. We're approaching the NFL trade deadline, and Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy could be moved. If they're moved, like, let's say that happened right now, it wouldn't be 1-3% anymore. It'd be like 20-30% because he would be the clear number one. Elijah Moore, 1-3%. Man, that offense, it's ugly at quarterback, but he is the number 2 receiver, and that's pretty clear. They're kind of phasing out Donovan Peoples-Jones. Jake Bobo, 1-3%, only on the chance that DK Metcalf misses more time. Bobo played 100% DK Metcalf's role, like just stepped right into the role. That was it. So obviously when DK comes back, he won't have any value, but if you're in a deeper league, taking a shot on DK missing another game, not a terrible strategy if you have the bench spots to do so. Another tight end, David Njoku, the 3rd on my list. Yay. The tight end merry-go-round. He was being used more, though. I just wish they would take the darn training wheels off. He's so athletic, but 1-3% on him. Mac Jones, 1-3% in deep one quarterback leagues. In super flex, if he was dropped, I would go in the range of 10-20. I don't think I would go too overboard because he's likely still be your 3rd quarterback, but he should be rostered. And I know some Superflex managers got frustrated. He's coming off his best game of the season. Joshua Kelly, 1%, especially if you have Austin Eckler. Kenneth Gainwell, 1%. I don't really feel the need to handcuff DeAndre Swift, but let's say this. Kenneth Gainwell is one DeAndre Swift injury away from being the lead back in one of the most potent offenses in the league. Tyson Bagent, let's go up to about 5% in Superflex because he's going to start another game at least. We know Justin Fields already being called doubtful by the team. Now, if you said Tyson Bagent is the starter the remainder of the way, then yes, it would be like a 25% or something like that. But this may only be 1 week. And if we're spending more than 5% on 1 week, that will add up very quickly and will rip through all of our fab money. Same thing with Tyrod Taylor. I don't even know if 5% is worth it because Daniel Jones could be back this week. I, like many, think Tyrod Taylor is better under center for that team, but it was only two games. Either way, maybe 3%, 5% at the most, but I don't even know if I'd go that much. And then, I mean, in Superflex, it's Malik Willis or is it Will Levis? Well, guess what? It's both. At least that's what we were told from Mike Vrabel. I don't know if this is a Spurrier thing. Do we have two quarterbacks here? Because if you have two quarterbacks, then you don't have a quarterback. That's for sure. Be careful. I wouldn't go much more than a percent or two in Superflex on Malik Willis or Will Levis. My lean is Willis, but hell if I know on that one. It probably is better to just avoid it outright, but I did want to at least mention that because that news came out today. All right, defenses. If you have any of these defenses, I personally would stay put. I don't care what rankings say. I would just stay put. There is no need. If you have the defense that is ranked sixth and the fifth-ranked defense is on waivers, to drop the number six defense because the difference between them is insignificant. Really, all we're trying to do is start good defenses in good matchups or middling or bad defenses in great matchups. That's what it comes down to. So this week, here's what we're looking at. The good defenses in good matchups. Philadelphia, first and foremost. The Eagles face Washington. So how many sacks? What's the over-under on this one? 10.5? I mean, that's it. That's a nice floor play right there. I like Buffalo this week to continue to be a good fantasy asset. They get Tampa on Thursday night. Cleveland this week, if you're holding on to them. Seattle is not amazing, but I am going to. I do think we get a bounce back with the Cleveland Browns. San Francisco, same thing. They don't have an amazing matchup, but I'm going to keep using them. They face Cincinnati. And then Baltimore, if you held on to them, I mean, if you somehow started them last week, you got to be really happy because that was a great performance. It is a very good defense, and they face Arizona. The only defense that I think a lot of people might be rostering who you could move on from this week is New Orleans. I don't really love the matchup against Indianapolis. As far as our streamers, first and foremost, the Jets. Some folks may have held on to them through their bye, but if they were somehow available, they get the Giants. And I don't care if it's Tyrod or Daniel Jones under center. It's a great matchup. Detroit gets a great matchup against Las Vegas. We don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be this week as of right this second, but I don't really care. I mean, they're throwing interceptions left and right. Great matchup there for Detroit. I like Seattle against Cleveland, especially if it's P.J. Walker. Very likely could be another week of him. I like Miami against New England. Mac Jones turned it around last week, but we know, I mean, he's turned the ball over a bunch this season. Good matchup to capitalize on. Now, if all those are out of the mix, I think you could toss a dart at the Giants. They are not a particularly good defense, but they face the Jets. It's Zach Wilson. Yes, Zach Wilson has improved during the course of this season, but it's Zach Wilson. So if you're desperate, the Giants will fit the bill. If you want this set of rankings to help you out as you go through and make your waiver claims this evening, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and I'm going to be back tomorrow breaking down the initial set of rankings for Week 8 Fantasy Football. Catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.